Well, today I'd like to recount the story of a young man that was born into a royal family in ancient Israel. At the age of 5, his father and grandfather were killed in a battle with the Philistines. And upon hearing that the boy's father and the king were slain in battle, because the father was grandfather was the king of Israel, upon hearing that they were killed in battle, the nurse that was in charge of the young lad grabbed the young lad to escape and leave the palace, and in the haste to flee, dropped the boy in a manner that caused him to be lame for the rest of his life. As you can imagine, being 5 years old and of the family of the slain king was a bad position to be in, because oftentimes the new king would do away with contenders, that people that could be future contenders for the throne. But this young man was very fortunate because his father had shown tremendous loyalty for the man that was to become the king of Israel. In return for his loyalty, the soon-to-be king had taken an oath to care for this man's family even after his death. Now, I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the friendship between Jonathan and David. But today I'd like to share the story of Mephibosheth, a son of Jonathan, that reveals the kindness of King David demonstrated to the member of the dethroned royal family. King David's expression of godly kindness should serve as an example for each of us to exemplify in our daily lives. So if you would, to start, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 1. And it says, "And then David fled from Naoth in Ramah, and went and said to Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?'" So David at this time knew that Saul, who was a king, who was also Jonathan's father, had a distrust of David. But he said, "Why does he want to kill me? I've done nothing." And so Jonathan said to him, "By no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." So basically he said, "You won't lose your life. Here's what I'll do. I'll find out what my father's intentions are, and I'll let you know." And so if we drop down to verse 9, we'll pick it up there, and it says, "But Jonathan said, 'Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you? He said, "Of course I would tell you. If I knew that something bad was going to happen, if I knew that my father had intentions of killing you, I would certainly let you know." And then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father..." Oh, then he goes on. Let's go back to 10. He said, "Then David said to Jonathan, 'Who will tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly?'" In other words, what if he doesn't tell you? "And Jonathan said to David, 'Come, let us go out into the field.' So both of them went out into the field. And then Jonathan said to David, 'The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father..." In other words, when I found out what my father's intentions are, "sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do evil to you, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safely. And the Lord will be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, but that I may not die. But you should not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth.' So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying that the Lord required at the hand of David's enemies." In other words, saying, "David, I need you I want you to promise this to me. I want you to commit to the vow that you will protect both me and my father." Because he knew that David was to become the king of Israel. And now Jonathan agreed, again caused David to vow, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So here we see that this is the commitment that David made to Jonathan. He basically vowed, saying that he would protect Jonathan even if his father no longer was a king, and that he would do that not only after the death of Jonathan, but he would continue even after the death of Jonathan. So let's see then, let's pick it up, and also let's look in 2 Samuel in chapter 4. And we'll see here, this talks about Mephibosheth here, where he becomes lame. So in 2 Samuel chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 4. And it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So here we see that this is the individual that we want to talk about. We want to see, want to learn some lessons from the story of Mephibosheth. So, as we said, let's kind of go back and review. So here is a 5-year-old son that is lame, that now is part of the family of the king that was just killed in battle. So now there's going to be a vying for the throne. And you have a 5-year-old individual of the dethroned family. So we know that David made this commitment to Jonathan. Now we know that Jonathan and his father, King Saul, are killed. They're died in battle with the Philistines. Let's pick it up then and see where David remembers this vow that he made. And that's in 2 Samuel in chapter 9. So if you we'll start in verse 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And let me just go back and now after the I forgot to just kind of a little history. After the King Saul died, there was a struggle for who was going to be the king. And initially, David became king over just the tribe of Judah. And Saul's son, other than he had two sons, both Jonathan and another one was called Ishibosheth. Ishibosheth became the ruler of the other tribes of Israel. So you actually had, it was a split kingdom at that time, and that was for about 7.5 years. So there wasn't a whole lot of danger to his, it was basically, it would have been his nephew, Mephibosheth, or Jonathan's son at that time, because he was still the king over Israel at that time. It was still the same family line. But 7.5 years later, Ishibosheth was killed by two of his generals, his captains, and that was when all of Israel came together then under King David. So now this is about 15 years later into the reign of King David, and we pick it up here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it says, "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So now he's beginning to recall the commitment, the vow, the promise that he had made to Jonathan. "And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And when they had called to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'At your service.' And then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?' And his servant said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar.' And then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. And then David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, 'Here is your servant.'" So I'm sure there was a rather fearful time for Mephibosheth, because he's being called to the king. He is really now a lame individual of the family that is no longer king, and he probably has no idea of the promise that King David had made to his father many years ago. And so now I'm sure he's exhibiting some fear. But David said to him, "Do not fear, For I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan and your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Now this had to be, just be a huge relief for this individual to realize that not only was he going to allow him to live, but he promised to restore the land that belonged to his father and his grandfather, Saul. And then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And you might say, why would he use a term such as that? Well, you know, handicapped, lame individuals were not looked upon as very highly in that time frame. And so he saw himself as somebody that was undesirable to be seen in the palace. So why would the king bring somebody such as himself to be in the palace? So he didn't understand why he would do that. And continuing in verse 9, and the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." And now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So not only did he give back the land, but he is crippled. He's not capable of working the land. He physically can't do that. So King David gives his servants and says their responsibility is to take care and to produce crops on the land that he just gave to Jonathan's son. What an expression of kindness. What love is he showing towards Mephibosheth at this time? And in verse 11 it says, "Then Ziba said to the king, 'According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do.' And as for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." So now he says that he actually has taken him in to be part of the family. What a tremendous blessing that we see here. So let's look at some of the lessons that we might be able to learn from this story. First of all, as we mentioned, as a conquering king, David had the right to take away everything from Mephibosheth, a member of the family of the dethroned king. But he didn't do that because he had made a commitment. And although Jonathan's son was lame and unsightly, David was honored to have him at his palace and to sit at the table as if he were one of his own, one of his sons. And David actually considered Mephibosheth to be part of the royal family. He would eat at the king's table, he would live at the palace with the royal family, and he would be treated as his own son. And then King David's servants were assigned as servants of Mephibosheth to tend the fields and bring in the crops. So in return for the kindness that David showed to Mephibosheth and his family, we saw the humility that Jonathan's son and the appreciation for the kindness and mercy that King David demonstrated to him. You know, we won't turn back to it, but remember we were in 1 Samuel 20 in verse 14. You know, Jonathan had asked David to show him, his family, the kindness of the Lord. Now that we have had a chance to review the story, I believe that we have a better understanding of how seriously David took that oath and how he did exactly what he committed to do. Let's turn to another scripture where it talks about the kindness of the Lord, and that's in Titus 3. We'll start in verse 4. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 4. And here it's talking about our Lord, our Savior. And it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So King David, in a way, was a type of Christ. At that point in time, the kindness of the Lord is referring to this mercy. We're not saved by our deeds, but by the mercy of God. Mephibosheth was saved by the kindness and mercy shown by David, and not by his deeds, because he physically could not do much himself, since he was lame. You know, we're not all that different from Mephibosheth. You know, he was lame and unable to provide for himself, and we find ourselves weak and unable to live a righteous life without the power of the Holy Spirit and God's mercy. So Jonathan had asked David to show the kindness of the Lord to him and his family. Jonathan understood what he was asking. He was requesting that David show undeserved mercy and love to him and his family when David became king of Israel. Jonathan knew that God had selected David to become king. He also understood that as a family of the dethroned king, his family could be treated poorly, or even worse, could be killed. And therefore Jonathan asked David to exhibit the kindness of the Lord to him and his family. What an example King David set for each of us as he showed kindness and mercy to Jonathan's son and his family. He demonstrated the same godly kindness that we read about in Titus 3, the kindness and love of God, our Lord, our Savior, to each one of us. Well, while we may not be a king today, we're to become kings and rulers in God's kingdom. We should be reflecting that same mercy and kindness in our dealings with all people today. And we can use the example set by King David to help us understand what true godly kindness looks like.